Father, what a privilege to connect to those words and seeing how you came and found us. And every single person living in this nation, Father, you have created in your own image. And we know that your love goes beyond our abilities. And so we thank you as your Holy Spirit begins to work in the hearts and the minds of men and women and children in this nation. And we're just praying specifically for South Africa right now, Father. You know all nations, but for our nation, you've called us to pray for. So, Father, we want to thank you as your Holy Spirit reveals and draws men and women and children to the revelation of your love and what you have done in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, our prayer this morning is that in your family and us as your children, there will be such an awakening of this incredible love that's within us, the Holy Spirit, your love in us. And for us to really come so one with this love of yours, let us grow into it. Let us become more established in this love by the power of your Holy Spirit that enables us to grasp and comprehend, to be able to know this love that so goes beyond knowledge, but for us to be able to live in the reality of it and the oneness of this deep, deep love of yours. Father, in this love, reveal your holiness. Reveal how holy and pure and spotless and selfless is this love of yours. That we may realize that we are standing in this reality of holy love. And we will just begin to say, wow, God, who are you? Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you take us into this more and more, deeper and deeper and deeper. This is our heart's cry because our spirit knows this. And our own inner man is groaning for more of the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, as you minister, as you open up, and as Holy Spirit, your power working, you the one that takes from God and makes it real to us. And we want to thank you as you do this in our lives, but not just in our lives, in the family of God in South Africa and in the unsaved, that they may be drawn into the reality. It is so profound, Father, that your Son spoke to the body of Christ. And he says, as we love one another, the world will know that you have sent your Son Jesus. And this is why this world needs, this nation needs us to be able to know what love's all about and to enter into the depth of this love. Greater, 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 more and more and more, Lord God. Now unto you that's able to do immeasurably more than what we are asking for this morning. By your power, so that, Father, you are glorified in our lives and through our lives and in your Son, Jesus Christ, who we are in and who dwells within us. And this we commit and receive today in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at understanding the bigger picture of God's agenda, God's plans, God's will for nations. And we are focusing on South Africa right now because we're in South Africa. And how do we fit into God's plan for this nation? As I've shared earlier on in the previous, as we started this series, where normally our starting point to discover God's will is, God, what is your will for my life? And very often it's quite a struggle because we're so in ourselves, in our insecurities and all, we get so confused. But when we start with God, what is your incredible heartbeat for the nations? And then we start to realize, wow, your Holy Spirit starts to guide us where we fit into it. And then we start to realize this is our part in God's agenda. And so our starting point is always God. And that's the way it is. Otherwise we get so too focus on self. Now, as we've been going through this, last week I started to speak a little bit more of just the reality of God's love, and we touched some scriptures and we looked at this John chapter 3 verse 16 as well, as we're starting to get better understanding of God's heart for the nations. Today I want to continue as we look at his motive. What is God's motive? Because when we know his motive and we know that his spirit is in us, we find that we can really connect to the motive of God. And with that motive of God, you start to find how God now can share even more. Because now we're getting His heartbeat. And He starts to open up more and more of His purpose for the nation. So that is why when you look at like spiritual gifts, He says you can have all these gifts, but without love, you're nothing, kind of thing. And so He's starting with us and understanding love, so that out of love, out of the motive of God's love and that love in us, we can operate in our gifts, our callings, whatever God has equipped us with. And that's the journey. And that's how we're starting with God. And then we start to manifest that here on earth in through our lives, so that God is glorified through the body of Christ as well as in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what has been happening as we have been praying for South Africa? Sometimes we don't really understand, we don't really see it. But I want to take you back to an event on the 6th of the 4th month, 2023. We were having, it was Easter weekend, and that Thursday we were having our Easter service there at the Cross Connections coffee shop. And that was a time when God was very specific, and He spoke, I know, to me, now you're able to pray for South Africa. Before, I didn't have the mandate. I prayed for South Africa, but I didn't have that, now, the authority of God and the mandate to pray for this nation. And the first thing He said, the first part will be praying for the body of Christ, because we have a major role to play for the destiny. What is God's vision for South Africa? The body of Christ has a crucial part to play in seeing that become a reality. Okay. And so that is why we've been praying for the body of Christ in this nation. So as we have been praying for the body of Christ in South Africa, what has been taking place? Well, let me just read a bit of an encounter that RG received when we were busy praying. And I'll just read, again, it's just God gave me the mandate, and so I was just releasing something. As Bram was praying, I saw in the spiritual realm how Bram was like a drum master. He was holding a huge marching band bass drum over his shoulder and secured around his waist. And with his hands, he started to play a loud and distinctive rhythm. The sound echoed far and long and got louder and louder. And this is when we were all together and we were, as one, we were busy praying for South Africa. And this is a scripture, and it's a profound scripture that you want to, so I'm wanting you to see what's taking place in the spiritual realm as you and I are praying for South Africa on the mandate that God has given to us, taking it seriously and pressing in, praying for the nation. So it's not just words. There's something profound taking place in the spiritual realm. And this is why a few weeks back, we started to speak about who are we in the spirit realm. Understand our position in the spirit realm. And this is all helping each one of us to know who we are in the spirit realm. So it's not just the natural. We're starting to understand as we pray who we are as a family of God in the spiritual realm. This is what's taking place. This is what how we're involved with something far bigger that we cannot maybe see in the natural eyes. But in the spiritual realm, this is taking place, and it will manifest in the natural as we persevere in these things. So Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 20. This is what came into Audrey's spirit as she started to see what was taking place as we were all praying. You are my war club. This is not just me, this is us. You are my war club, my weapon for battle. With you I shatter nations. With you I destroy kingdoms. Go back to Isaiah chapter 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of God, will be chief amongst all kingdoms. See, can you see what's taking place as we are praying? This is becoming a reality. This is what we are participating in. Okay? We are God's war club. We are God's weapon for battle. With us, with the family of God, we shatter the nations. With you, we destroy the kingdoms, these demonic kingdoms, etc., that are taking place. The drum beating was like a call to formation and activation. And then I saw several sections of angel armies appear. They were different sizes and wore different uniforms. I could distinguish between them mainly by the different colors they wore. There was one group I could identify with flutes. They were just dressed in white, but all had flutes. I also instinctively knew their functions. And now I'm just going to just read these seven angel armies, and I'll go into the scriptures now, and then we carry on. The red angel, this army of red that was wearing his red uniforms, had a destiny to bring healing. To bring healing, all kinds of healing into South Africa. Whether it's relationships, spiritual, physical, you name it. They were all in the realm, in the red. Now we can to the blue, the angel army that had the blue uniform was for revelation, for truth to be revealed. Because without revelation, the people perish. See, we've got to understand the revelation that God is sharing, because when we take that word that God is sharing, if we abide in Christ and that word abides in us, whatever we ask for in His name, it will be given. The crucial reality of the body of Christ to press into revelation, what the Spirit of God is saying to the church now. And whatever we ask in His name will be done, because we're praying in the will of God. Very, very important for us as the weapon of war that God has called us to be involved with for our nation's destiny. So it's not in the destiny of the demonic, but in the destiny of what the blood of Christ has done in redeeming a nation. We're part of that great inheritance of Jesus Christ. The gold is pioneering. And you'll start to experience it, even with us, you'll start to experience that pioneering is going into something that hasn't been done before. We're no longer going to be doing church like it done before, for instance. It's going to be a whole new way that we are pioneering. The angels are helping to the body of Christ to pioneer, to get away from this kind of four wall structure. Because what takes place as people walk into the four walls, it's like, whoops, this is the way you always do it. And suddenly there's no participation, there's no understanding of the life of being in the kingdom, how to live kingdom life wherever we may be. And so all of this is part of the pioneering work of the angelic army that's helping the body so much more, but that just touched that way. The green is the army, the angel army that's in the uniform of green is destiny. Why do you think God is putting in the hearts, what's the destiny of South Africa? Because the angel armies are involved in helping. So as I'm sharing this right now, there's the angel army helping. They are active, involved in helping South Africa understand God's destiny for this nation, for your life, for my life. See, it's very, very real, and I'll show you now how real it is. The brown, and this is why with the conference, SWC Green, because it was about destiny, understanding who they were in the spirit, and we still need to press in for that. The brown, the uprooting, and you're going to see the angel army uprooting many, many things. So watch the political agenda. Watch the uprooting. Watch what takes place in the body of Christ, that which is not of Christ Jesus. Watch the uprooting. Start to see what God is doing as you and I are praying for the nation. Okay. The silver is the courage. And watch the boldness start to come up in the body of Christ. It's growing all the time. More and more courage to be able to be who we are in the spirit. And in the flute players, that's connected to the melody of the Father's heart. Why do you think right now God is helping us to understand what is His heartbeat for the nation? Because these angels are involved, the flute angels are involved, helping us to get into the rhythm of the heartbeat of God for all people. See, this is what's taking place as we are praying for the nation. God is answering our prayers as we pray for the nation, because He's given us a mandate to do that. And that's what we are busy doing. So, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 1, we all know the scripture, but let me just share, because sometimes we get a bit scared when we speak about angels. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits who are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So we know that as we are praying according to the will of God, we know that God, these angels are helping us in doing what God has called us to do. We're not alone in this. Who are we in the spirit realm? Not who are we in the flesh. Who are we in the spirit? The spirit realm and the angel armies that are involved in our destiny helping us. Remember Daniel. Oh, let's go back to Genesis even. When once Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, God placed an angel to prevent them coming in. Again, to go into the garden, to go and eat from the tree of life again. You see, the angels of God are very, very active. We see there when it came to Abraham, when it came to Lot, when so many times we see where God sends angels to be involved in people's lives. We notice over there too when God called Moses, and we see then when Moses starts to lead the people there, God placed an angel in the front to lead them, to show them a way. Destiny, purpose, protection. All the time you see God there. And when the Pharaoh's army, the angel goes behind there and prevents the enemy from consuming them. All the time, we've got to realize that we are not alone. As we are praying for the nation, these angels are actively involved. Because it's because we have a faith, we believe, and we have a love in our heart for the people of our nation. These angels are involved in bringing about what we're asking. Daniel, a good example. Remember Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel is praying for the destiny according to the word of God for the nation Israel. And he's praying, and then Gabriel comes and says, I've come to answer your prayer. All the time, you've got angelic realm involved, participating in the will of God for our lives, for the lives of our nation, in the nations. We see that, remember Gideon, for example, when God called Gideon, destiny for Israel, destiny for Gideon. And the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Gideon and spoke to him because Gideon is, oh, who am I kind of thing, the smallest clan. And he comes and he says, in the spirit, you're a mighty warrior, and releases identity into his life. Releases destiny into his life, purpose into his life, the angel of the Lord. They're involved in our lives. They're involved in the life of South Africa. Who are we in the spirit realm? This mighty war club of God, who we are, this weapon of God, this incredible light to the world, kingdom of God, the royal priests and kings to serve our mighty God. There's many, many more. We can look at, for instance, the birth of Jesus, the angels involved. At the temptation of Jesus, after the temptation, the angels came to minister to Jesus. He's showing us the reality of what it is to be ministered by the angelic realm. So God is showing us, as he ministered to his son Jesus with angels, he ministers to you and I. Sometimes we just don't realize that they are around ministering to us. But when we look back, often we realize, oh, there must have been an angel there that was looking after us or something. We start to recognize the activity of the angelic realm. We can have a look at the Garden of Gethsemane, and we see there also where Jesus is in that place of brokenness. God, your will be done. And the angel came to minister to Jesus, getting him ready to go to the cross. Many times you'll find in your own personal life, just before there's a hard event, you'll find somehow you're being strengthened in a way that you just know, wow, God. And that's why, I don't want to say this, but often you'll find that when that happens, you know, whoopsie, what's ahead of us? But that's just God helping us so that we can get through and have victory and to fulfill what God has called us to do. So these things take place. We can look at Philip in the Ethiopian, where the angel said to Philip, go and evangelize to that Ethiopian. We can see in the prisons where the angels come, and this is new covenant. This is not old covenant I'm talking about now. This is new covenant life. The angels coming to set the apostles free in prison and that. Very, 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 very involved. It was an angel of the Lord that went to Cornelius and said to Cornelius, there's a Peter there, you must go. It was the angel of the Lord that directed Cornelius to go and call Peter to come and speak, and then the gospel can go into the Gentiles' lives. Angel of the Lord. So, who are we in the Spirit? When we pray, because we have revelation, when we pray with a faith and have a love in our heart, and as we pray in the name of Jesus, because we know what He has spoken to us about, He's called us to pray for South Africa. He's called us specifically in South Africa to pray for the body of Christ, to get revelation, to get the healing, to understand destiny, to be able to understand what pioneering is all about, to understand the uprooting, and to get the courage and to connect into the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father. That's what's happening as we are praying. That's why the Holy Spirit guides and leads, and that's why in your own personal lives at home, in your quiet times, you will find the Holy Spirit is speaking, and you will find this activity taking place in your own life. So we're in good hands. You're not alone. You may look at South Africa and you may say, oh, is there any hope? We're in good hands. We are called for a time like this. Where do we fit into God's agenda for South Africa? See? That's what this is all about. And we will continue more and more as we get more insight into that. So to build upon last Sunday, let's go to John 3:16, which is what we sang that very first song. In John 3:16, as we know this, we know the motivation part of God. We know what motivates God. But the Holy Spirit wants to take that and enable the motivation of God to be activated in a way that hasn't been activated before. And that's what this morning is all about. That activation to take place here within us about this incredible love of God. And just get a better understanding, because sometimes we get confused about what love is, because we've got a human definition of love. So in John chapter 3 verse 16, we see here, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so everything that God does is motivated by His love. Everything. And it'll probably shock you if we have to say this, but even hell is motivated by God's love. Everything God does is motivated by His love. Because He does not only love, God is love. Everything that He does, every involvement in our lives is motivated because He is love. And that's crucial to understand, because there are so many questions. How could a good God do this? How could a good God do this? How could a good God do this? And the revelation of God's love, and the credible, because of His love, He created us with a free will. Everything that God does in creating us is because He loves us, out of His love. So we all have a free will. Adam and Eve had a free will. Everybody. Okay? There's a consequences of stepping out of living in the reality of God's love. He still loves, but there's a lifestyle of living in His love. And we will look at that now. So we see over here that God's heart for the world, God's heart for South Africa, God's heart for the next generations, the previous generations, God's heart for the Gaza Strip, God's heart for you name it. He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. C.S. Lewis, quite a philosopher and a theologian, and some of you have watched some of his films. The Lion, was it The Lion and Vicky? C.S. Lewis, The Lion and the Witch and all those movies over there, and the books that he has written. But he speaks about the four kinds of love that exists. And we know this, but just to understand. First of all, it's that eros love. That's that romantic love that, I don't know. It's that falling in love. It's that romantic love. And all the desires and all that takes place in romantic love. Then there is the other kind of love which the Bible speaks about, is the philos love. That's the love between one another, the brotherly, sisterly kind of love. That's the reality. So we see when we learn about in Peter there that you go from brotherly love and it goes go even further into agape love. So there's a brotherly love that the scripture speaks about. Then there's what they call the storge love. That's, I love my dog. I love pizza. You see, that kind of love. It's just a tremendous, it brings you tremendous delight and you're so fond of that there. So I love my sport, whatever it may be. That's what's in the category of storge love. And then the last one is this divine love, agape love. For God so agape the world. This divine love. And this divine love is characterized by sacrifice. For God so agape the world that He gave His Son. So it's characterized by sacrifice. It's characterized by selflessness. It's characterized by wanting the best, God's best for all mankind. This is the characteristic of God's love. It's characterized by incredible purity, holiness. And that's why when God takes you into this love of God, you'll experience the holiness. You want to run away because it's so holy. Very, very holy, pure, pure, selfless. It's characterized by God's incredible goodness. And suddenly this reality of God, everything that God does, for God so loved the world, agape, it's out of His goodness. And everything that God does for this world is because He's a good, good God. And this goodness explodes into one's life. See, human love is not characterized by this. Because it only goes so far as what pleases me. It doesn't go further than it at all there. So that's part of the characteristics of, that's just a little bit. But anyway, that's just to start to understand the difference between human love and God's love. Another good theologian you might listen to sometime, his name is John Piper. And John Piper, in his explanation of God's love, he also speaks about the degrees, the different kinds. How do you know the depth of love? How do you know the difference between human love and God's love? How do you know the difference between this brotherly love and this agape love? How do you know the difference between eros love, romantic love, and agape love? And he starts to give some also into four categories. And he speaks about the very first one, this love of God that we're speaking about. That's why it's categorized by sacrifice. The degree to which a person loved does not deserve to be loved. None of us deserved, in that sense, to be loved. I don't know about you, but I only love people that deserve to be loved. See, that's human love. Brotherly love grows a little bit further and you want them saved, whatever it may be. But for God so loved the world that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's the depth of the love of God. That removes we were chatting the other day about the church without walls. And very often when we speak about the church without walls, we think of a structure that's got no walls. Or we think of a body of Christ that is open for people to come. But who is the temple of the living God? We as believers. And the starting point of church without walls is what walls do we have around our own hearts that need to be removed? Agape love deals with all those walls around our hearts. Okay, so agape love, the degree to which a person loved does not deserve to be loved. And as I quoted that scripture in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and I. The world will know that the Father has sent his Son Jesus as we love one another as he has loved us. The world will know the difference between human love, political love. The world will know the difference between lust. The world will know when they can see the body of Christ, this agape love flowing out of us. The world will know. They've got a testimony. They've got a witness. There's no excuse. I was reading earlier this morning, I'm going through the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations, they believe Jeremiah wrote it, but there's not really solid evidence. But the book of Lamentations it's a personifying Jerusalem. It's personifying the people of the Israel nation. And it's there lamenting before God. And one of the things that's in this Lamentations, where Jerusalem, Mount Zion, is busy saying, God, you are a righteous, holy God. And we disobeyed you. And then she calls out to all the nations, because they're about to get judged. She calls out to all the nations that were involved in the disciplining of Israel, and she says to all the nations, look at me. Look at me. Look at my condition. Look what's taken place where we, as the people of God, have disobeyed God. Look at us. Learn from us. Because we were meant to be a chosen nation to display and to speak into the nations, but we disobeyed God. Look at us. Learn from us so that what's taken place to us doesn't take place, happen to you. And this is why praying for the body of Christ is so, so crucial. That we can learn how to operate, how to grow in this love. Because then we can say to the nations, look at us. We've got a lot to learn to be uprooted in our hearts. A lot. But this is the power of God. That's what unto him is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask for. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians 3, that by the power of God, we may be able to grasp and know and be established in this love of Christ. We can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit's power. Our part is to receive and to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I want you to do this. I want you to put your fire in me and burn out all the self-centeredness in my life. I want to go to the sword where your sword can pierce me. I'm yielding to your word. I'm yielding to you. Have your way in my life. That's our participation, and God works within us as we again allow him and give him the permission to do what he wants to do in our lives. And so we can say, look at us, look at us, look at us. And when God spoke to me this morning about that, there was a holy fear that gripped me, because I know the condition in the spirit of the body of Christ in South Africa, who we are. And I realized we can't say that. We cannot say to the world, look at us. We've compromised with homosexuality and all kinds of stuff. We've compromised with all so much of the demonic realm. We cannot say, look at us. This brings a weeping into our hearts because we realize, God, we need you. Here we are as we start repenting, as we start, just the group of us, as we start and say, God, here we are. You've called us to pray for the nation. And as we start and to realize, as we pray, God's at work in dealing with the family of God, bringing about, look at us. People can see the glory of God. We are the light, children of light. So it's a yieldedness, it's a holiness, it's a just the reality of God. I can't play around anymore. This is serious stuff now. You've called us to be a light. You've called us. I've got to make decisions now based on who you are. I've got to make decisions about my future, about my life. Not about me, what's my delight, but what about you? What brings you glory? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is what enables us to make the right decisions wherever we go, whatever we do, to bring glory to God. That doesn't remove us having fun and all those kind of things, but it brings in the right motive of what we do for the glory of God. It's totally different. The seriousness now that's grabbing hold of us. Another characteristic of this incredible love of God is the greatness of the price paid to love a person. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus, not only for his friends, but while we were still sinners, he laid down his life. The depth of the selflessness love of God to lay down one's life for the benefit, for the good of another. Starting to see the difference between man love and this God love, to starting to realize that he has put something in us that is so, so powerful, so, so big, so, so real. It's in us. He has poured his love into us by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And so Paul prays, Father, open our eyes. Enable us to be able to realize Christ in us so that who he is can really begin to live through our soul dimension. What's in our spirit. And manifest more and more and more. So it's a growth for us all the time. It's continually growing. For us, there's no place for stagnation as children of God. Because then we are selfish. We are disobedient. We're not living out the heartbeat of God. There's no place to just relax in the body of Christ. God, today, I'm here to do your will. Today, what's on your heart? And we do whatever he has called us to do. And very practical. We will look at the practical application as we go on later on. Another characteristic of this incredible love of God, the greatness of the good that is done for the person when he is loved. Go back to our portion in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him hath eternal life. That's the greatest goodness of God in our lives, is to have eternal life. Incredible goodness of God. The depth of what he has done to bring us not just to have a nice car, but to have life. That's the greatest gift God gives to you and I. And Jesus says, and he describes this eternal life in John 17, verse 3, and he says, this is eternal life, that you may know the true God and Father and the Son Jesus Christ. What an incredible gift. And you can see the selflessness of God. He could have left Adam and Eve. He could have left us. And he says, no. I love you. I'm going to let my Son die, the greatest sacrifice, so that you and I can receive this great, great gift of God's goodness, and that's eternal life. The destiny of a nation. And grasp that, suddenly we start to realize, God, how do we fit into this? How does a nation get saved? How does a Great Commission fit into all of this? Where do we fit into the Great Commission? Okay, let's carry on. The fourth one over here, the level of desire that God has for the good of the one loved. This is a wonderful scripture. Let me read it. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. This is the heart of God. His delight over one. He doesn't just say because, no, his love. And this is part of the love that's within. That's why you see in Corinthians where it speaks about love. Love does not delight in evil, but delights in truth. See, there's a delight. Sometimes people often say that there's no emotion in love. Oh, you don't know what love is if you say that. Oh, when you go into God's love, you experience His delight. It's full of emotion. Goodness is not just words, it's emotion. You see, holiness is full of emotion. God is not just a word. He's full of emotion and is powerful. So listen to what he says concerning Israel and that. And he says over there in verse 17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Powerful. And Jesus said, I look forward to going to the cross. Full of delight because of the depth of love for our good to be saved, for mankind. So you will find, as you and I find, as we're growing into this love, you will find there's such a delight for the good of another person. There's such a delight to see people getting born again. There's such a delight that's motivating us to reach out. The love of God. Eros love is about me getting pleasure. Philos love is about just a mutual enjoyment with one another and friendship and all that. Storge love, that pizza makes me happy. Agape love, totally different. Now, as we close, let me give you one scripture here in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, I think I must read it in the Passion Translation. It might mean more. Here, remember, John is the apostle that really has a revelation of God's love. And he's writing so much in the letters over here about love. But let's just read here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 onwards. Those who are loved by God, let His love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God. Powerful, eh? And that's why he goes on and says, this is how you know who the children of God are. Because they know how to love with my love. That's why Jesus says, if you love one another, the world will know that the Father has sent His Son Jesus. It's all connected. It's all in this incredible truth of who God is. He has loved. And Jesus' command for you and I to love one another as He has loved us. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. So you know, as we go around, who doesn't have this love of God operating, you know they have not yet come to God. So you know how to be involved in their lives. The light of God's love shined within us, when He sent His matchless Son into the world so that we might live through Him eternal life. This is love. He loved us long before we loved Him. This is why we can look at while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was His love, not ours. He poured it out by sending His Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering. Characteristic of divine love is a sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Powerful. That's what He has done so that we can come into the family of God. Delightfully loved ones. If He loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be a way of life. It's not a program. It's a way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him. His love is brought to its full expression in us. And he has given us his Spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Moreover, we have seen with our own eyes and can testify to the truth that Father God has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Those who give thanks that Jesus is the Son of God live in God, and God lives in them. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives in him. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us. And we can carry on. But just take notice of those incredible words. God is love. And as we live in love, we are living in God. Where do we live? Where do we live now? We are living in love. We are living in God. Because we are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because we are in love. We are living in love. We are living in God. And that renewal of the mind is life-changing. Just that receiving and spending time into that truth. Where do I live right now? I'm living in the reality of God. I'm living in his love. And his love is in me. Just that is life-changing. Just that is such a reality of security, such a reality of knowing the future, removes the fear of judgment. Just that. Just that starts to bring in what Paul prays. Now unto him is able to do immeasurably more. Just that starts to open up. God, I'm in you. Now by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable me to grasp this incredible reality of who I am in you, who the body of Christ is. So we go beyond ourselves. The body of Christ in South Africa, we are in love. We in him, we live, we move and have our being. Now we need to pray, God, there's angels out for revelation. Father, give revelation to us as the body of Christ in South Africa of where we are living. Otherwise, we're going to be moaning and groaning and we won't be speaking faith. We'll be speaking whatever. So, guys, as I say, God has called us to be a weapon in this nation. Love never fails. I have got so much walls that God is busy exposing and releasing, and but in his grace, one is able to say, God, thank you for showing this. Let your blood just cleanse, Holy Spirit, just bring about the transformation. So the more I gaze upon the love of God, who he is, the more the transformation takes place from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't go into any form of, oh, realize God is loving us and he's showing us where we are and he's calling us into who we are in him. He's showing us how we look like in our own flesh. And he says, now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is who you are in me. Holy Spirit, help us to grow in this more and more. Next year we will be totally different. We will have grown more in love. We'll look back. And you'll see the journey of the growth from glory to glory. Amen. Oh. Father, thank you. For your agape love. We know, as we sang in that song, that there was no way that we would have come to you. You came to us. You so loved the world that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you said that when you depart, the Holy Spirit will come and convict us of our what sin is all about. And I trust that every one of us here would have had that divine experience where you, Holy Spirit, came and showed us what sin was all about and revealed to us, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Lord, You didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. You didn't come to condemn South Africa, but to save South Africa. And we want to thank You, Father, for that. We want to thank You that You have put Your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as Paul has prayed, Father, we are asking that same, that by Your power You enable us to grasp this love of Yours. By this great power of the Holy Spirit working within us, You will enable us to be able to know the depth, the height, the length, the width of this incredible love of Christ Jesus for us. That we may be rooted in this love, that we may be established in this love of Christ Jesus, so that we can grow into the fullness of You, God. Because You are love and we are living in You. And we want to grow into the fullness of that truth of who we are in the spirit realm, who we are in You, Jesus. We want to grow in that and for that to manifest here in the natural. So that, as Jesus said, the world will know that, Father, You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we are the family. We are Your family. They can see Your family as they look at us. So thank You for Your grace over us this morning and working in our lives and helping us. Thank You that we can yield to Your grace. Thank You that we can come to You and say, Father, continue to father us into the reality of who You are. And we want to thank You. Help us to grow. Help us to be established more and more. So thank You, Holy Spirit, as You work in us. Thank You, Jesus, as we have communion tonight, this morning, together with You. Such a demonstration of Your incredible sacrifice, Your love, Your delight for us. Father, this morning, thank You that You are singing over us because of us responding to Your call, us responding to the Holy Spirit's ministry. What a joy, what a delight we bring to You, Father, this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we want to thank You. Thank You for Your blood, Lord, that has cleansed us. For the aroma of Your blood, so beautiful, so pure, so pleasing to the Father. And we want to thank You. So Jesus, thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for Your body. Thank You that we can eat together as a family, celebrating You. And this we receive and thank You, Father, through Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.